So we're, what are we having?
Now we're going to learn about, we have to respect Talmidei Chachamim. It's a mitzvah to give kavod Talmidei Chachamim. There's halachas to that. Mitzvah ta'aseh lechabed Talmidei Chachamim. It's a mitzvah ta'aseh, brought down the Rambam. Right? To respect people which are considered Talmidei Chachamim. Te'avon chamu ad meod levavotam o lisnotam. And it's a very big sin to give them, to disgrace them, and to hate them. And that's one of the reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed, like the Gemara says in Shabbos. Omar Abiyuda, lo chalva Yerushalayim, elo shibishvi shibidu bat amedech chamim. Yerushalayim was not destroyed, but for that they disrespected the Talmidei Chachamim.
Also, Rabbi Akiva's feels.
Yeah, right? Very good. A lot of people died. Al ken, aroe talmid chacham mevuze. Therefore, if someone sees a talmid chacham, which is that he is disgraced for some reason, it could be also no one's telling him anything, but if someone sees a talmid chacham, which is walking with torn clothing because he doesn't have enough money to buy, and it's a disgrace for him, or he doesn't have a shoe, he doesn't have this, the mitzvah to go and make him that he, to respect him, to help him out. Okay, it's a mitzvah.
What if you don't know? Okay, he sees people like that have torn clothing, but I wouldn't know if that person was
You don't know. You can stand up. You don't know. You don't know.
Okay. So if you know that the person is one,
yeah.
He's
he knows. He knows that person. He knows. He goes cure him and this, he that. He goes around, whatever it is. Okay. Now we're going to go through. There's two ways to respect the rabbi of yours.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So if you have a kohen at your dinner table and a
tamalokam,
will you
serve
first? Or will you serve first? I don't know the answer. It's like a makhov,
isn't it?
Are you aware of that?
I think it says it here soon.
Will you serve
the tamalokam over the kohen,
no?
I think so. I think it says it here soon.
It's coming up?
Not in this chapter, but for sure he talks about it here. Who do you serve when you have to... טוב, we'll see now the details. המכבד תמיד חכמים זוכה ליראת שמיים. כן, the Gemara says in Brachos, one who respects תמיד חכמים, he merits to have יראת שמיים. The Gemara in Shabbat also says, also that he'll merit that his children will be תמיד חכמים, and also that his son-in-laws will be תמיד חכמים. Only he has to respect תמיד חכמים. He has to love them. Right, so there's another way. You don't have to be Talmid Chacham to have children. Even if you're a Pashut Yid, your children can be Talmid Chachamim. How is that if you respect Talmid Chachamim? The Gemara says it. Ha'me'arech Talmid Chacham b'tov b'tov ma'aneo min chasav. One who hosts a Talmid Chacham in his house or gives him stuff of his, of his own. Okay? It's as if he's bringing a Korban Talmid in Beis HaMikdash. Where does it say this? Gvam Brachas, also in Gvam Ksubas. And if he makes, if a Talmid Chacham comes to one's house, if Rav Shalom comes to one's house, and he makes a Suda, Stam a Suda, just for his honor, it's called a Suda Smitzvah. Suda Smitzvah. Unbelievable. I mean, Chacham, you know? Yeah? And Yehor Rabba, Chatam Sefer, yeah? It says the Gemara says someone who benefits from a Seuda with a Talmid Chacham in it, and also, and he sees the Talmid Chacham, it's as if he's benefiting from he sees the glory of the Shechina just by eating in the same Seuda that Talmid Chacham is eating in. So one who speaks to Talmid Chacham is talking to him with a soft speech in the way of Kavod. Okay. Also, Gemara. ומן הראוי לפנות אליו בגוש שלישי כגון הרב או כבודו וכדומה. It's appropriate. I don't know how you do it in English so much. I have to think about it. I never tried. But it's appropriate to speak to a big rav in third person. Can I don't know how you do that. I need to do that in English.
So how does the Rosh Hashiva do it?
Ah, that's what you say?
Can I get the Rosh Hashiva some coffee?
A lot of that in Hebrew also you do it not in third person, in second person, but plural. איך אתם מרגישים? מה שלומכם הרב? I'm plural like that. Same idea, give me respect. That's it. I said it in Hebrew, in English it will come out the same. How are you doing?
Right, that's
it. You won't tell us how are you guys doing?
If it's plural, why should that be more respectful?
In Hebrew, yeah, it is respectful, of course. Also, if you talk to a woman, or a woman talking to a man in Hebrew, we say in plural.
Like in Spanish has a specific form for
respect. Not every Spanish.
Almost usted.
Usted, right.
More
color.
You know, we don't have
that.
Well, usted is more formal too. Is that what you're saying?
Right, so I'm saying, like, we English in Hebrew doesn't have it.
Where's, what's his name? Sismai. There's help here with the Spanish. or to turn, when you turn to the Rav, you say Harav, right? Or you say Your Honor, Kvodo. Don't say that. Kvod Harav. Someone who's in the Shir Torah, and the Rav is saying stuff that he knows already. It's chutzpah to say, I know that already. That's not interesting. I know that. Right? So the Rav said that last week. Don't say anything. You said it in here. If someone isn't sitting in a class or whatever, and he has to go early, so don't, tell the Talmid Chacham, you show him on the clock that it's late, you know, he has to finish. You leave, you want to leave. Don't tell him to end his speech because you want to leave. Even if you're the gabbai. And if, well, let's say there's another rabbi coming in, right? There's another rabbi coming in. So, for example, we had Rav Amos was speaking and Rav Amos was coming in. But Rav Amos knew that Rav Amos was coming. But let's say he didn't know and suddenly he didn't realize the clock, the time. And suddenly the big Rav comes in, or he's coming soon. So he's supposed to give him a notice. You write a notice, a little note. The Rav, next Rav is coming in 5 minutes or whatever. You give it to him and let him finish the conversation, the speech the way he is. But not to say, Rav, it's a psik, or magia, or something. Some people might do that, you know.
To not embarrass them?
Yeah, it's embarrassing the Rav. Mitzvat aseh lakum mipnei tamid chacham, afilu hu tzair, ותמיד חכם זקן צריך לכבדו להדרו ביותר. צל זה שולחן אורך. זה לא נצמן בפסוק, מפני סיבה תקום והדר לפני זקן. זקן in the פסוק means one who bought acquired wisdom. זקן זה קנה חוכמה. זה מצווה זה עשה, מצווה זה אורייסטה to stand up in front of התמיד חכם, a rab, even if he's a young fellow. For example, Rav Elgod. Rav Elgod is very young. I don't think he's even 35, maybe 35. And he's a genius, and he's a huge Talmid Chacham. Every time we stand for him, the mitzvah d'oraisa. So easy to stand. Unbelievable. Okay, we'll see soon the difference between Rabbi Amuvak, his Rav, his main Rav, and Rav who teaches in Torah. Okay?
I have a question. Can I thank Rav Elgrad for a teaching class?
No, still to thank. It's Avera. What do you mean? What do you learn you have to thank?
Hashem.
Oh, well, of course you could thank. Why not? Not good. Shakoya, thank you. We enjoyed it very much. It's a mitzvah. Why not? You thought that it's chutzpah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you think it's chutzpah?
I would rather ask the question now then make a mistake.
It's a big story. What do you mean? You give someone something, you enjoy receiving a thank you. So why not? Why would you think not to? Do you think why not? Of course.
I don't know.
Start knowing from now. Okay. If it's a Talmid Chacham which is older in age, it's a bigger mitzvah to respect it, more than the younger one. Okay. Because it's two things. You have to respect someone who's Talmid Chacham, and you have to respect someone who's, you're supposed to stand in front of someone who's over 70 years old. You have to stand in front of the Oaisa. According to Kabbalah, even 60 years old. No one has to tell me his age over here. I'll just stand for anyone who has a white beard, okay?
Not a shidduch.
Huh?
It's not a shidduch.
Not a shidduch. Exactly. Okay, fine. יש הכתב שבכל פעם שתמיד חכם עובר לפניו חובה לעמוד ממש כל זמן שצד עולם עוזר אפילו 100 פעמים ביום לפני שאינו עושה בתורה בני השכנת דל יקימה ביומיים ביום בסדר some say that you have to get up if a Talmid Chacham walks into you in your for amos even 100 times a day you have to stand for it stand up completely full. And so, but according to Ashkenazi, I don't know where does he bring this from. That's enough twice a day. If he walks in here for almost twice a day, you stand.
You're free. Is it for a certain amount of time, or just like till he gets
to the seat? No, you stand. You sit. Right? Yeah, you're not your rub. Your rub is different.
When Rav Cohen got up a few times,
sure.
The whole day's measures, it was quiet for like 2 minutes, the only time it's quiet, and then like, I think he like first time went to the bathroom or something, or went to get a book, and then the second time he was leaving, and like everyone stood up, and it was like, till he left, everyone was still standing.
Yeah, because he's a big, huge Talmid Chacham, that's why. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, they waited till he went into the tent. We'll see soon the difference between this Rabbi Mubar, the big Rabbi, yeah. The Chacham, by the way, if you're learning Torah, you don't have to get up in front of your Rav. Not your Rav, a Rav. Someone, right, standing and learning Torah, and the Rav comes in, and he's busy now, he's learning, he's there, he doesn't have to stand up for him. If a Talmid Chacham, now we're looking at the Talmid Chacham's aspect, yeah, you have to know these halachas, that if he could go in the back way where no one will have to get up for him, that's the best. It's a schut for him that he does that. Yeah, he doesn't cause people that they won't have to get up. Doesn't cause people to get up. No. If there's two Talmid Chachamim coming in, let's say Rav Shalom sits down and Rav Lindor comes in, he stands for him. And the opposite will be two. Because they learn from each other. So each one has to respect the other. The book, it's in Hebrew, I don't think they wrote it in English. That is mother. Unbelievable. It's a huge lady. It's a Dekas. Very special. I read it, I feel it's a mash. It's like a Shmuel Shapiro of the women. It's a Dekas. Not breast of the it's chesed that we can't even imagine. Can't even. I read this. I said, "What? Until work? How far could you go with the chesed?" So.
This particular Jewish person, I was trying to explain this person what you just said about standing, giving him the appropriate respect. This person said, "There's no difference between me and this person. We both, you know, went through all the things they both do as people, as human beings." I said, "But you can't even read all of this. You can't read the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet." And this man writes Sfarim, does everything. They couldn't get it.
If we explain to one why do you stand in front of the Talmid Chacham? Besides the fact that Torah says so. The reason is that we respect the Torah, as the Gemara says. Stupid, those they're fools. Those which stand in front of the scroll of the Torah and not in front of a Talmud Chacham, which is a living Torah. He's living. He's why do we stand in front of Talmud Chacham? Because he's Hashem's ambassador in the world. We all are, but he's more. He's higher. We're just clerks. He's working up there. He's the ambassador in the world, right? He's the representative of Hashem in the world. You're standing out in front of a human being. Standing in front of Hashem. He's a representative of Hashem. Okay? In the secular world, the Goyish world, when they honor a person, they honor the person himself. Right? Or they honor his... either the person, or they can honor also his tafkid. What's his tafkid? Is a
position?
Position, yeah, his position. Ah, he's the president. He has a point. I don't know. He could be an idiot, but he's a.
What do we do with calling a kohen name? A kohen name.
There's no mitzvah to stand in front of a kohen.
No reason to.
There's no mitzvah to stand for a kohen. The mitzvah to stand for a talmid chacham. There's other things that do to a kohen. There's stuff to kohen. Other things. We'll see some. Yeah. Anyway, so he says the mitzvah to get up. Right, we said that, yeah. Yeah, we say that the wife of a Talmid Chacham, you also have to get up in front of her. The Rabbanit walks into the room, you have to get up. He's the wife of Rav Arush. To respect her. He told us that once. And someone spoke against the Rabbanit something. He said, it's like talking against me. You're talking against me. You're talking against me. No, it's the Rabbanita. He says, hello, you have to stand in front of her. You have to respect her like you respect me. So don't kiss her hand, but stand. Okay? Talk to her with respect and everything. If you stand and he doesn't realize, let's say there's a big mismatch, she's sitting in the corner, you see Talmud Chacham come in, you stand. No, you don't have to stand for that. Only if he comes in your area, your far amos, in your area where it's going to be noticeable, the respect that you're giving him, so then you stand. And or if he comes in, everyone's waiting for him, so of course wherever you are in the country, you'll stand, but that's what's giving the respect right now. And if Talmud Chacham walks in, he's supposed to stand until he sits. Unless he's done walking around. He's not planning on sitting down. Okay? There's no chiyuv to stand in front of a blind Talmid Chacham. But there's a mitzvah to stand in front of him. He's blind, he can't see that you're standing, he doesn't have respect on that. But there's a mitzvah, to respect him and to stand. There's no chiyuv. Okay. Yeah. If now you're gonna go and Talmid Chacham is walking in and you have to get up now to use the bathroom or to go get a book, right? And then just so you get up, Talmid Chacham walked in. So wait till he sits or he goes to his stuff, then sit and get up again. Why? To show that the first standing was for respect and not just to stand and then go do your business, because then it looks like you stand got up for a different reason, which you probably did.
If you stop what you're doing now,
no, but let's say you got up just to go to the bookcase. You just got up, right, and then he walks in. Don't go down to the bookcase. Wait.
Yeah, but if you just wait and not return to your seat, isn't that kind of showing the
image? It shows, so yeah. Right. You get the idea, yeah?
Yeah.
The best is to stand all the way, but if you're in the middle of stuff, whatever, you have to stand all the way, just to show the respect. Also good. You show that you give respect. Also good. If it's your big rub or your rub, of course you should stand all the way, or your parents. Yeah. So if you're learning, but yeah, learning like seriously, you're reading a book, you're reading some Tehillim, it's not going to bother you if you stand, so stand. But if now you're in the middle of the sugya now, and you're with the chavrusa, and he comes in, so fine. Look, you don't have to stop in learning. Okay? Another person does not have to stand up. The one holding a Sefer Torah doesn't have to stand up. He's holding a Sefer Torah, walks by. Good, I'm holding a Sefer Torah. We're at the same level now. And if someone's trying to get up with a Sefer Torah, you tell him, sit, sit, you don't get up. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld says, "This is the Tzad of Rabbi Yerushalayim Be'ez Yisrael." He says that a chasm during the 7 days of his wedding, the shevachis, he doesn't have to get up in front of a melech. Why? Says chasm doy melech. He's a king. A king is higher than melech. Even though we know David HaMelech, he sat on the floor when his Rebbe, he was a king, he sat on the floor when his Rebbe sat on the cushions and stuff. Okay. Up to Yishtabach, you have to stand up to a Tanya Chacham if he walks in. Afterwards, after Baruch Hu, you know, you could sit, you don't have to stand. If someone is busy with his, what he's doing, for example, he's tying tittis and stuff, important things, he's busy. He can't stop, stand up. He could, you know, just show a little bit of cover that he recognized that the rabbi walked in. In the bathhouse, in the mikvah, you don't have to stand up. Yeah. But if it's like the entrance room,
you have to keep your clothes.
Yeah. So they just stand.
Close.
If someone's ill, you'll have to stand up. For example, someone's laying in bed with a 104 fever and the Rav comes to visit him. What is this? He doesn't have to stand. He can stay laying down. Okay. Or if someone's avel and the Rav comes to console them, so you don't have to stand either. There's a mitzvah aseh. Where does it bring this from? I have to tell you this. It's brought down in Sefer HaChinuch. It's a mitzvah aseh deoraisa. Right? Listen to this. Mitzvah aseh deoraisa. Lesayah. ולהחזיק ידי תלמידי חכמים העוסקים בתורה, to help and to, I don't know, להחזיק, it's not really to strengthen, להחזיק is to make them, to hold them, to financially he's talking about here, people
sustain,
right, sustain, people, תלמידי חכמים, which are studying Torah, and this includes rabbis of communities, or sometimes the community doesn't have enough money to give them enough to live. I know a community like that. But the Rav goes works also. He told them, listen, we'll give you a house and we'll give you 2,000 shekels. And he said, okay, fine. So he has to also work. He doesn't have to pay rent or bills and stuff at all. But 2,000 shekels is not enough. If you have a family of 5, 6, 7 kids, what are you going to do with 2,000 shekels? Buy them bread all week? They'll use just bread. So he has to also work.
Sure.
But there's a mitzvah for other people to help the Rav of the community. Or Moreh Tzedek. Moreh Tzedek is a person, a Rav, he's not a Rav community, but he's a Rav who paskins. Like Rav Elgodid and Rav Nachman Arush and Rav Eitan over here. They're all people who paskin halachas in the yeshiva. The mitzvah to help them also. In a way that they will be able to continue in sitting and learning. Why? Because from them, that's what Torah comes out from. So when you're giving yourself, basically. Okay? But I'll tell you where Dugma. An example on the other side, right? In the secular world, people go to university and they get this, what's it called? Yeah, but they get paid from the state. A lot of times they give them money.
Scholarships.
They give scholarships. Why? Because the state realizes, wait, this guy could be a scientist. This guy could be an accountant, which is good. No one's saying that. I'm not saying no. Whatever it is, yeah? Whatever the state needs, they want people like that. They're lawyers, whatever they want, whatever, yeah? So they give them, what's it called, scholarships. So how much more Talmidei Chachamim, which are sitting and studying the Torah of Hashem, teaching the Torah, especially those which teach the Torah of Hashem, how much more those are the people you want to give your money to? That's the stuff you want to give to. You can give to Emunah, women, whatever it's called. You could. Not saying that. You can give. They do good things. I know they do good things. My Bobby was the president, whatever it's called. Yeah, I'm not saying that they do good things. But it's much, much higher is to give to Talmidei Chachamim, which is sitting in the Mitzvah, and to help them to survive and go through their life. They want us to learn. Those which are really sitting and learning. Not anyone who's registered in Kailo. Right? It's considered the Chachamim which is sitting and learning. But people who are, and you know, they're sitting and they're learning and they're teaching, that's what they're doing. The mitzvah to go and help them. And Baruch Hashem here, I see even guys give me sometimes. It does help. And it does help. It helps them. I know it helps. It helps me. It helps others. And they shakach, mamash. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'oraisa. The highest that they can give. Tamid Chachamim. I give to Rav Shalom all the time. He doesn't use it for himself. He doesn't have money. If he uses it, he knows where to put it also. So, there's a special mitzvah to help Talmidei Chacham before Chagim. Yeah, before Sukkot, before Pesach, before Purim, before Kender Chagim. Okay. This is, yeah. But if someone is able to learn himself, he could put himself in Torah. And he says, I don't want to learn. I prefer supporting Talmidei Chachamim. It's not the best thing. The best thing is if a person himself can sit and learn. But if he can't, for some reason, and he went out to work, and he makes a nice salary, and he gives tzedakah to Talmidei Chachamim, that's his mitzvah. Soon we're going to learn, is a thing called Yisachar v'Zvulun. An agreement, it's a legal document, which is called, document called Yisachar v'Zvulun. Two of the tribes, Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar used to sit and learn, and Zvulun used to be a merchant. All the people of Zvulun were merchants. And they used to go around and make business, and they supported all of Yisachar. Today we don't know who Zvulun and Yisachar. What we do know is there are people with the merchants, and now you're always sitting and learning. And there's a thing called, my father had it with his brother, a thing called partnership. Between a person who's a businessman, a person who's a Torah scholar, he sits and learns, that's what he does, and he's serious about what he's doing, and they make a document, and he gives them the Torah, part of the Torah that he's learning goes to his chus, because he can't learn so much, he only learns Zafayom or whatever, and he gives them whatever, we'll see the laws, how you do it.
Boilerplate store names,
or
is it written like by
Sofer? No, doesn't have to be Sofer. It can be on the computer also. It's a legal document.
Agreement without, not a
halakha,
I mean, within
halakha,
but it's still not a star.
No, it's not a star like a ksuba and stuff like that. It's like a star. It's like you do a rent. You do a like any partnership. Just the partnership here is one side gives the financial, the other side gives them the spiritual. That's the partnership that they did.
Arrangement
that they do, yeah. My father did it with his brother for a few years when he used to learn. His brother had a big schus. Later we'll learn all the details of that. My wife's late already. I feel like Nelson's giving shiur today, so I came a bit late. So Nelson's he usually gives, he's supposed to give shiur on Thursday, right? At 1?
Yes,
he wasn't feeling well. Okay, we'll learn a few more, then we'll finish with this. Achzakat lomdei Torah kodemet yitzvat sefer Torah. Mutar limkor sefer Torah v'kneset v'yaspek v'zod v'chomim sefer Torah. Mochen avud tamud Torah mitzvah lefazer af yoter mechomish me'amonot. Unbelievable. You understand what he says? I'll tell you in a second. Three things. First thing is he says, if a person has a certain amount of money, he wants to either write a Sefer Torah or give it to his people learning Torah, it's a bigger mitzvah to give people learning Torah than to write a Sefer Torah and put it in shul. Number one. Number two, more than that. If there's a Sefer Torah in the shul, there's 10 Sefer Torah in the shul, and there's a kollel there, and they need money for the Talmidei Chachamim, you sell the Sefer Torah to give them the money. You leave one for the shul, two, whatever the shul needs, three. But you need 10? No. But you could sell the Sefer Torah, okay? You could even sell the shul itself to support Talmidei Chachamim. Where did it say this? It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's a Shulchan Aruch. I didn't know all this. Now we know that a person has to give. A person gives 10% if it's a profit, or 20% some people give. But for Talmidei Chachamim, you're allowed to give even more. You're allowed to give more than 20% even. Other things, no. You give only 20%. The poor people, is that stam people, the poor orphans, 20%, up to 20%. For Talmidei Chachamim, you give even more. Now, if you have a Talmid Chacham living in Eretz Yisrael, or a Talmid Chacham living in Chutz Laaretz, it's a bigger mitzvah to give a Talmid Chacham living in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because by giving to a Talmid Chacham living in Eretz Yisrael, you're also helping the mitzvah of dwelling in the land. You're helping another Jew live in the land. And with Talmid Chacham, and he's a Talmid Chacham, and a Torah. We have it all together. If a person is not a Talmid Chacham, he lives in Chutz La'aretz, and he makes a nice amount of salary, and now he has a choice. Either he has enough money, either that he makes Aliyah, or that he supports Talmid Chacham which live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a bigger mitzvah that he stays in Chutz La'aretz, making money, then coming and giving his money to Talmid Chacham here in Eretz Yisrael, than him himself making Aliyah. I'm amazed when he's at Lachim. I'm reading what it says.
There must be much more minutia in explaining that.
Why?
It can't be just a simple statement.
Because
like
the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is much higher than a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah, which is learned in Eretz Yisrael, goes to much higher places than a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. So it says here. And Torah to Torah Yisrael. There's no Torah to Torah learned in Eretz Yisrael.
Can you repeat that? So you're saying somebody who is supporting outside Chutzal is a Talmud Chacham in
Eretz Yisrael. And he has a choice. Either he stays in Chutzal
to continue supporting,
right? Or he has money enough to make Aliyah, buy a house here and live here. And he's not a Talmud Chacham. He himself is not a Talmud Chacham. It's better for him to give his money to Talmud Chacham and live in Eretz Yisrael.
And not make Aliyah.
And not make Aliyah, if that's the choice, yeah?
Sure.
Then to make Aliyah. I'm shocked from this. It's a...
Don't be shocked. It's just a very interesting...
amazing. He brings the source.
So simple.
He brings a source here. I don't know. Stop. I'm sure if there's certain cases and stuff of people that they have to make Aliyah for whatever, chinuch of their kids, or who knows what, I don't know, I'm sure you go to the rabbis, they'll tell them what to do. But I'm saying in general, that's the halacha.
But if he's super comfortable, that's not enough of a reason to stay in Chutz La'aretz.
If he's what?
Super wealthy.
No, of course.
Not just wealthy.
We're not talking about that. We said that. I said if he has a choice, either or. Now the question is, let's say a person now has, he could give, he makes a nice salary, he could give 10,000 shekels a month to Talmidei Chachamim. Well, people like that, they make nice money, good. Now he has a choice, either he gives it to one Talmid Chacham and he supports him 100%, he pays his rent, he pays his bills, he pays his food, right? And the guy takes to learn. Or he give it to a kollel which holds 10 Talmid Chachamim, each one will get 1,000 every month. So there's the average, instead of having 2,000, they'll get 3,000 a month. What should he do? It's machlokes.
I've always heard
some say you should give it to one, some say you should give it to 10. Why should he give it to 10? So one, I understand, he's supporting 100%. Let him sit alone completely. Let him devote himself completely to the Torah. So it also depends who it is, I guess. What kind of person. If it's a person now, he's going, he's going to come to a rub. And he's not just a guy sitting in his homage. Maybe there's more of a reason to... But if there's 10 people, he says here that at least one of them maybe is learning Lishma, so it's higher, so give it to each one. At least one of them is going to go to a higher place. That doesn't say what to do, the Meister. You can do whatever you want in that case. If someone had a miracle happen to him, for example, he was by the train station when the car went there and did not hit him, or hit him and he wasn't wounded seriously, okay? If it was based on Midrash, what does he have to do? To be a Korban Toda, right? Korban Toda. Now there's no Korban Toda. He should put aside money as much as he can and give it to Talmid HaChamim, and it's as if he brought Korban Toda. And say, Yiratzon, that this is as if I'm bringing Korban Toda. If he had a case like that yesterday, yeah. 100%.
Is it okay to take non-Jewish money for a korban or for a talmid chacham?
Some will tell you yes, some will tell you no. Like where my children learn, they don't take any money from the state. Any money at all. It's not kosher money, they don't want. They take only money from donors.
Well, it would have been a dare for all when you get a donor from questionable money and use it to build something on Kedusha, like the bathroom and
the toilet paper. Some people say it's okay, then it's not okay.
Actually, toilet paper and cleaning supplies is a major expense.
Yeah. The cleaning supplies and all the... So don't buy sperm with it, okay? Second. Okay, yeah. So the Golan works again. So we finished the Allah is good. And next week in Milta Hashem we'll talk about respecting your parents. Respecting your personal rabbi, your rub. Right, which is different than a rub.